Before we move on to the music of Nadia Boulanger's women students, let's talk to one of the men who studied with her. Donald Grantham, professor of composition at the University of Texas at Austin, is here in the studio with us. Welcome, and thank you so much for coming in to talk to us.
Well, thank you for having me.
Why don't we start by finding out when you studied with Mademoiselle Boulanger and for how long and under what circumstances?
I studied with her in the summers of 1973 and 1974 at the American Conservatory in Fontainebleau. It's a very popular place for American students at the time. As a matter of fact, the joke was that every little town in the United States had a post office and a student of Nadia Boulanger.
That sounds like what I'm discovering about her.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Did you study other courses other than composition while you were there?
I studied, everybody did solfège, and I also did counterpoint.
Mm-hmm. And was she the teacher for that, or were there other teachers?
She taught the counterpoint session as a one-on-one class, and she also did an analysis class. It was a group class. I attended that as well. The solfège was done by another lady.
And was this in French or English?
It was in English.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And her English was fine then?
Yes, it was very colorful and very idiosyncratic, I guess. Mm-hmm. But she could make herself understood very well.
Well, I'm interested in what she found particularly important to stress, if there was, if there were one or two things that she kept coming back to in her teaching.
Well, she was absolutely insistent that everybody's ear had to be trained to the greatest extent possible. And she was very much a stickler for counterpoint and part writing. Everybody did exercises in that, and she looked at them very carefully and offered very valuable suggestions. The composition lessons were much freer. She tended to try and diagnose each individual that she had and to try and bring out what that person was trying to do best that she could.
Would you say that she had a particular talent for being able to bring out the essence of each composer?
I think so, and I think that's why she was such a great influence on such a widely divergent bunch of students.
Mm-hmm. And she was able to have insights into whatever they were doing. I mean, I feel like she's magical in some way. There were so many people that she influenced so strongly. There must be some magic, and so I'm trying to put my finger on it.
Well, I think that's the magic is a good way to put it, and it's hard to define exactly what that was, and I think it was different for each individual student. For instance, I found that my lessons were much different than the kinds of things she was doing with my friend Robert Rodriguez, who studied at the same time. And it was really tailored for the individual circumstance of the person.
That's fascinating. And was she was able to get at this rather quickly then, I assume?
Very, very quickly, right. Uh-huh. And her ear was phenomenal. I mean, my first lesson, I came in with a recording of my master's thesis. It was a harpsichord concerto for harpsichord and string quartet. I played the whole thing for her, a recording, about 20 minutes. And at the end, she sat down at the piano and played the first 16 measures of the piece. Now, this was not a real complicated texture at the beginning. It was just a viola solo with some chords. But she still was able to retain that over that period of time and reproduce it and ask me why I used a particular note.
Wow. Very impressive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes, very impressive.
How much did she get into, let's say, personal things about her students, your personality, or what, you know, did she try to tailor her lessons to the kind of a person you were, or was it just all focused on the music?
Well, that's another interesting question, because I think that varied with the students. I think to some extent, with every student, she made suggestions, some of which were very pointed, and others were more, I guess, subtle. And I think it depended on the personality of the student. And I think she also let the student more or less determine to some extent how personal things were going to be. And for some, it was very personal, and others, less so.
So she was very sensitive then, you would say, to this.
She certainly was in the individual instruction. The group instruction was much more, brutal.
And was there group instruction in composition as well as private instruction in composition?
Not in composition. It was in analysis and some of the counterpoint classes. The composers did meet as a group, and she would call individuals up to do various things at the keyboard that would involve things that we were working on as far as harmony and part writing, counterpoint, and ear training go. And some of them were just devilishly difficult. And she did not have a lot of patience with anybody that couldn't pick up and do what she wanted them to do. Those were very stressful for everybody involved.
Yeah. And challenging. I'm sure it made you want to get better and better.
Yes. Yeah, it certainly did spur you to do your best efforts. But, it was a really different person, I felt, in the group as opposed to the individual.
Is this a style of teaching which you think has passed? Is there this kind of discipline applied to composition teaching these days, or do you think things have changed?
Well, I think it would depend on the person involved. I mean, everyone had such a deep respect for her ability and an awareness of how much she had to offer that they were willing to put up with abuse in some
yeah.
situations. And I think today, students that had the same feeling about a particular teacher would be willing to put up with the same sort of situation. I'm not sure I would have put up with a lot of that from other teachers.
Are there demands that are made on students that are as, you're talking about abuse, but what about just challenges or demands to do the particular kinds of things you were called upon, let's say, to do in these classes?
Well, no. I think she was very much of the French.
Yeah, I guess that's what I'm getting at. Was there an old school or a French school, and is there a sort of change in the way things are generally thought of now?
Yes, and I think American music education at the time I was studying was much different, too.
Mm-hmm. Well, that sounds really interesting. Any last parting things you'd like to share?
Well, only that she probably was one of the most profound musical influence I'd had, and certainly opened my eyes to a lot of things I don't think I would have had the opportunity to experience without her. So I was very, very grateful to be able to study with her for the length of time that I did.
Well, we're grateful to have you talk to us about it. Thanks
well, thank
so
you
much
very
for
much.
Coming in.
Yeah, thanks.
What a treat to have such a direct connection to this legendary teacher. Julia Perry was an African-American woman who wanted to be a composer from an early age. She earned bachelor's and master's degrees from Westminster Choir College and also studied at the Juilliard School and the Berkshire Music Center in Massachusetts. Perry received two Guggenheim Fellowships and spent the 1950s in Europe studying in Italy with the avant-garde composer Luigi Dallapiccola, as well as taking some lessons from Mademoiselle Boulanger in Paris. She taught briefly at Florida A&M College and at Atlanta University. In 1971, she suffered a paralytic stroke and was hospitalized for several years, but taught herself to write with her left hand and returned to composing before her death at the age of 55 in 1979, the same year that Nadia Boulanger died. Perry composed 12 symphonies, as well as concertos, operas, cantatas, choral pieces, songs, and numerous instrumental chamber and solo works. We'll hear Julia Perry's A Short Piece for Orchestra, with the Imperial Philharmonic, William Strickland conducting.